Welcome to episode 261 of the 10 10 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 10 10 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 10 10 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today we turn to the first epistle written by the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian Church, the 43rd book in our series, 50 Books of the Bible in 50 Weeks. In Romans 10, verse 14, the Apostle Paul writes, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news." God could have chosen any means for the message of salvation, such as angelic messengers, even making the rocks cry out, anything besides working directly with human preachers. The method he elects to use as the primary way to bring people to Jesus Christ is the preaching of the gospel. Paul quotes Isaiah 52, verse 7, when he says that those who preach have beautiful feet. The feet speak of activity, motion, and progress. And those who are active and moving in the work of preaching the gospel have beautiful feet as they partner with God for the salvation of men and women. A number of years earlier, the apostle writes a letter to the churches in Galatia, which states, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." In preparation for the spread of the gospel after the fullness of time had come, God's plan and program has at least three aspects to it. First, Greek is the common language of the day, made possible by the conquest of Alexander the Great and foretold hundreds of years earlier by the prophet Daniel. Much of the New Testament is written in this common Greek, and most people in the Mediterranean world can speak or read the language. This common language allows for a rapid spread of the gospel. Second, a Jewish diaspora exists throughout the Roman and Parthian worlds in the first century AD. When the early apostles begin their missionary endeavors, they always seek out the synagogue and Jewish community in each city they visit. The apostles have areas of common ground with their Jewish brethren, notably monotheism, the belief in one God, and a belief in the Hebrew scriptures. Thus, the early Christians can reason with the Jewish settlers about the identity of the Messiah. Third, another preparation to facilitate the spread of the gospel is an empire-wide road system. The Roman army engineers build a vast road network for military purposes, for moving men and equipment quickly to trouble spots whenever needed. The Apostle Paul writes about the beautiful feet that walk these Roman military roads with the gospel of peace. One of these roads is called the Via Ignatia, the Ignatian Way, and parts of it exist even today. Thessalonica is a prominent city in Macedonia, in modern-day Greece, due to its location. It has a seaport on the Aegean Sea and is a principal stop on the Ignatian Way. Paul and Silas traveled to Thessalonica from Philippi during Paul's second missionary journey to preach about Jesus. Paul spends 3 weeks teaching in the Jewish synagogue, but most of the Thessalonian Jews become indignant and form a mob to drive the men out of the city. However, according to Acts 17, verse 4, some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. That is the beginning of the church at Thessalonica. Some are persuaded. All it takes for God to do a mighty work is for some to be persuaded. Paul acknowledges this persuasion in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." In Thessalonica, Paul and Silas stay with a man named Jason. And when the Thessalonian mob decides to get rid of the missionaries, they rush Jason's house and drag him into the streets and before city officials. Jason is released after paying what is essentially bail. Meanwhile, the new Thessalonian believers hide Paul and the rest of his party until dark and then send them on to Berea, a city about 45 miles to the southwest. In Berea, Paul finds a much more receptive audience. The Bereans consider Paul's words and compare them with the scriptures instead of taking offense and resisting the gospel as the Thessalonians had. Even though Paul and Silas had left their city, the unbelieving Thessalonian Jews are not satisfied. They follow the missionaries to Berea and try to stir up the crowd against them there as they had done in their own city. The Berean believers smuggle Paul to the coast where he boards a ship for Athens. Silas and Timothy remain in Berea to teach and strengthen the new church there. Not long after his initial visit to Thessalonica, Paul is in Corinth, where he writes two letters that we now call 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, addressed to the newfound church in Thessalonica. 1st Thessalonians is one of Paul's first letters or epistles to churches. Despite the hostile environment the new believers experienced in Thessalonica, they're holding fast to the word that is preached to them, and the news of their devotion to Christ is becoming well known throughout Macedonia. Paul's stay in Thessalonica had most likely been difficult for him. In his second letter to the church there, Paul mentions that he had to work during his time in that city in addition to teaching and preaching in order not to be a burden to his hosts. Although Paul does not state what kind of work he did, it is most likely tent making, a trade in which he is experienced. Due to the short time he had been able to spend in Thessalonica, Paul is concerned about the church there. In 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 18, he writes that he tried to return to them again and again, but Satan blocked our way. So Paul sends Timothy to check on them and encourage them in their faith. Paul is afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted them, and that his labors among them had been in vain. But Timothy returns to Paul, bearing good news about the thriving church in Thessalonica, and Paul writes the book of 1 Thessalonians to encourage them and to explain the day of the Lord more clearly. It seems that later, some people begin teaching the Thessalonian church that the Lord has already come and that judgment day is upon them. Worse yet, these false teachers are alleging that their message comes from Paul. The apostle writes 2 Thessalonians to allay their fears and teach them more fully about the coming of our Lord Jesus and are being gathered to him. They have not missed the coming of the Lord. The church at Thessalonica, located as it is in a prominent city of Macedonia, has an ideal opportunity to share the gospel with the whole region. And that's what they do, as affirmed in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from the Thessalonian church. Paul's exhortations and encouragement to the Thessalonians are also applicable for those today who have longed for his appearing. Paul's words to his friends at the church in Thessalonica are timeless promises to us all. Father, help us to be persuaded, and use us to be the vehicle through which to persuade others. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.